Chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, he speaks these words to Thomas in the hearing of the apostles. They're all in the upper room of this house that the Lord had chosen, and it is the night that Christ would be betrayed and arrested. These apostles, for approximately 3.5 years, 3.5 years ago, left their jobs and their homes and their families to follow Christ. Life for them had been quite different than it ever was before, and really had been quite good. They had seen the countless miracles of Christ, the healing miracles, the deliverances, the raising from the dead. They had witnessed Christ walking on the water. They'd seen him calm the storm. And on we could go, but they had personally witnessed all these things. They had listened to the greatest teachings ever spoken. They had just witnessed the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem when the streets were lined with people saying, Hosanna to the king. And now Jesus in John chapter 13 on this particular night tells them that he's going away, to speaking of course of his crucifixion. They are dismayed. They are filled with fear, anxiety. There's much gloom. It's as if their whole world has come crashing down. And Jesus, as you read John 14, 15, and 16, he's telling them that their life was going to be different, that they were going to face very soon very difficult times, and that they would face persecution and hatred from the world. And in chapters 14 through 16, Jesus is instructing them. He's encouraging them and he's doing this to help them deal, and to prepare them for what was before them. So what Jesus says here in verse 6 is part of that instruction. It's part of that encouragement to help them to deal with what was coming. And again, what Jesus says is absolute. It's 100% reliable. It's exclusive. Excludes all other ideas and philosophies that would be contrary to what Jesus says. And what we read here, it certainly has application to the unsaved, though it's spoken to the saved. There is certainly application to the unsaved, because he's speaking of heaven, he's speaking of God the Father. But it also has application to the saved concerning the life that we are to live. So I want to speak tonight on the exclusive claims of Jesus and living the Christian life. What Jesus claims here goes hand in hand with the life that we're called to live. It's an absolute necessity that we get a hold of what Jesus says here in verse 6. First of all, consider the life that we are called to live, that we are responsible to live. It's very particular, very definite life that we are called to live. It's a very narrow life that we are called to live. And we're called to live this life in the midst of great difficulty, just as the apostles were about to face great difficulty. We are to live this life, and it's to be a life that is really in direct opposition to the world. It's not a life that the world is going to understand. It's not a life that the world is going to even appreciate. It's a life that is contrary to the reasoning of man. Certainly a life that is opposed to the secular mindset, which of course is what the world has, and sadly what many of God's people have. It's also contrary to the so-called values of the world. And it is contrary to the lifestyle of the world. The life we're called to live is different than the life that the world lives. It's not sporadic. It's not a matter of convenience, this life. It's anything but superficial and shallow, anything but flippant and carefree. It is a very extreme life. Jesus calls us to live life to the extreme, the far end, concerning Him. It's a life that is single-minded, one mind, God. It's a life that's obsessive. To be obsessive concerning the Lord. The life we're called to live is a decided life for God. We are to live God-correspondent lives. That is, everything in our life is to correspond to the commands of God, to the person of God, God Himself. We are to live our lives devoted to God. We are to live our lives responsive to God, submissive to God, obedient to the Lord. We are to live constantly in the awareness of God. Again, all of these things are strange to the world. We are to live our lives in dependence upon God, in praise of God, in thanksgiving to God, in worship to God. Again, these are not sporadic things. These are to mark our very lives. These are the lives that we are called upon to live. Our lives are to be a declaration of God. That is, our lives are to declare that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, that He is everything that He says He is. Our lives are to declare God. Our lives are to be lived in fellowship with God. Again, this is not sporadic. Our lives are to be lives of serving Him, separated unto Him, with Him having the preeminence, with Him being the priority, with Him being the emphasis. Now that's extreme. All of that is very extreme. Life is to be all about Him. It's not a balancing act between the life of the world and a life for God. It's to be all the way for God. Again, it's extreme. For you and I that are saved, there is to be a marked and pronounced contrast drawn in our lives between God and the idols of this world. We are not to be, we're not to intermingle with the world. We're not to be swallowed and sucked up and consumed and taken in and engulfed by the influence and the ways of the world. We're to rise above all of those things. This is the life that we are called to live. Our lives are not to Our lives are to be marked by steadfastness for God. Our lives are to be marked by firmness in the ways of God. Our lives in every way is to be above the self-life, whether it be centered upon self, whether it be self-interest, self-confidence, on and on we could go. Our lives are not to revolve around self. Our lives are to revolve around Him. So our life is to be all about God. And it's to be a life of spiritual ascending. That is, these things ought to be increasing. These things are not to be becoming more rare in our lives, more sporadic. They're to be more and more of the norm all the time. We're to be ascending spiritually. It's not to be a life that is marked by strife and contention or bitterness or anger. Our lives are not to be marked by misery and gloom. Our lives are not to be marked by failure or frustration or chaos and confusion or defeat or bondage. Our lives are to be lived above all of those things. And we all know that earthly life consists of circumstances, and earthly life consists of situations, and there are seasons that we go through. There are trials, there are difficulties, there are challenges, there are people, there are places, there's family, there's careers. All of these things make up earthly life. But none of those things are to get in the way of the life that we're to live. None of those things are to control our life. None of those things are to be the center or the focus of our life. This is very strange to the world. And the world, again, loathes such a precept, such a thought, that life would be centered upon God. But this... None of the things of life, none of the stuff of life is to get in the way of living for God. And we all realize that's much easier said than done. But that's the truth. That's what our lives are to be. We're to live a Christ life in a world that is very un-Christ-like. We're to live a Christ life in an anti-Christ world. We're to live a Christ life in a world that finds Jesus Christ to be unbearable and unappealing. In a world that is filled with opposition toward Christ, resistance toward Christ, hostility. A world that's going to put up many obstructions. A world marked by wickedness and abomination. A world that seeks to undo all that is pure and all that is holy. We're to live this special life in the midst of all of that. It's to be a life of victory. Even though the policies of the world and the philosophies of the world and the reasonings of the world and the manners of the world and the fashion of the world and the entertainment of the world and the pursuits of the world are all directed and used by Satan to lure us away from the life that we're to live, to hold us down, and to shackle the child of God in order to keep them from living this life. I believe that everything in this world seeks to hold us down spiritually, and will hold us down spiritually if we allow it to. So we live in a world that is been duped by academia. That's the big thing today. Everybody has to be college educated. In most cases, people go away to college, they come back stupider than what they went when they went in. But we have this big thing, academia, that seeks to whack away at the foundations of Christianity, desiring to rid society of the narrow-minded notions that people have picked up along the way of life in their rigid and insulated Christian family or church or through dogmatic preaching. And the guise is that they do this because we want people to be more well-rounded individuals. That's a lie. I have no, that's not the we want to just make you well-rounded individuals. And the more that people can see all sides, the smarter they're considered. The more intelligent they're considered. This world seeks to erode biblical convictions. That's the world in which we live. But we have a life that we are called to live. Now, in light of all of that, we need to hear Christ's instruction, Christ's encouragement for this life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're called to live a very particular, a very extreme, a very narrow life. And as we live that life, we must keep this in mind. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, this life that we're called to live is a continual coming unto God the Father. No man can come in salvation or in the prayer of a child of God. No man can come unto God except by Him, except through Christ. So we must realize these things. Living with what Jesus says here in our text, always before us, we realize that the life that we are called to live, it's not in me. It's in Him. He's the way. That means I'm not the way. He's the truth. That means I'm not. He's the life, not me. So we're not, this life is not lived in self. Well, I'm trying so hard. Grab hold of this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not in us. It's not in our rituals. It's not in our form. This life that we're talking about. It's in Him. And outside of ourselves, this life is outside of ourselves, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. So in order to live the life that we are called to live, remember these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. With that in mind, lay hold of Him. Cleave to Him. Abide in Him. Because of who He is. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. In other words, the life that we are called upon to live cannot be lived apart from Jesus Christ. It cannot be lived apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus, knowing here that the apostles are at a loss. I mean, you can only imagine the looks upon their faces as He told them He was going away. And He knows that they are very confused at this moment, and they're fearful. And they're very, very anxious. And they're greatly distressed. He knows all of this. And He knows what they will soon be facing. He knew what they would be facing in just a few hours. And He calls upon them to focus upon Him. That's how the chapter begins there in verse 1. He says, believe in Me. Again, He knows what they're feeling at this very moment. The distress. He knows the danger that they're going to be facing. and he directs their focus upon him. Believe in me. He did not just say believe. He said believe in me. Believe in me. Again, many times people say, well, I believe. But then you try to narrow down, well, what do you believe? And they don't know. Well, if you don't know what you believe, you don't believe. Because if you believe, you got to believe something. And Jesus says, believe in me. Why? Because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Believe in me. Now he says this in the context of their hearts being troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. So faith in Christ is the cure of a troubled heart. But is it not also the prevention of a troubled heart? So what Jesus is saying here is, keep on believing me. Place your confidence in me. Depend upon me. Trust me. Look to me. Come to me. Lean upon me. Commit yourself to me. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe me. Believe in the person of Christ. Believe who he is. This is key if we're going to live the life that we're called to live. It's not a life lived apart from Christ. And this is key if we're going to be prevented from getting sidetracked by all the things of life. Believe in me. Now in salvation, we came to believe that he is the way. In salvation, we came to believe that he is the truth and that he is the life. That's all true in salvation. But what we tend to forget is that is also true in living the life that God has called us to live. We must believe. We must believe him. We must believe. It must be our conviction. Jesus Christ is the way. No matter what my circumstances are, Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the life. We need to remember that in all of our circumstances, in all of our problems, in all of our difficulties. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So in a day when even many of the saved have taken the attitude of choose your own way, find your own path, just be sincere, we must be firmly persuaded he's the way. It's not up to me to choose the way. He's the way. It's not up for me, I should say, to make the way. He's the way. I don't need to make a way. He is the way. The way is already there. And it's him. We don't have to come up with a new way. I am the way. To the exclusion of all other ways. Is he not the way to nearness to God? It must be. No man can come unto me except by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way to nearness to God. Someone has a desire to get near to God. How do you do that? He's the way. You can't get near to God by bypassing Jesus. He's the way to a life of true service, to God. People are always trying to find new ways to serve God. He's the way. Abide in Him. He's the way. He's the way to a life of fellowship with God. People want fellowship with God, but they want to bypass Jesus Christ. There's no such thing. He's the way to a life of experiencing God. He's the way. He's the way to a life of spiritual enablement. He's the way to a life of spiritual growth and spiritual advancement. He's the way to a life of enjoyment of God. Jesus Christ is the way to enjoy God. He's the way to the will of God. Oh, people talk about the will of God all the time. But their life is lived apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way to the will of God. He's the way to successfully resist Satan and all of his wiles and temptations. He's the way to live above this world. He's the way to be victorious over sin. He's the way to everything that we ought to be in life. God calls us to be a certain kind of spouse, laid out very clearly in Ephesians. Calls us to be a certain kind of parent or child. He's the way. You do not become the spouse that you ought to be by bypassing Jesus Christ. And a person does not become the parent they ought to be by bypassing Jesus Christ. We're not the sons and daughters we ought to be by bypassing Jesus Christ. He's the way. What we're saying is that our life needs to be centered upon Him. He's the way. He's the way to be the church member we ought to be the employer or the employee. Or the citizen that we ought to be. He's the way through. He's the way to become. He's the way through. He's the way through all the dry places of this world, all the pressing and urgent times. You may find yourself in a very pressing situation, a very urgent situation. Hear Jesus say, I'm the way. I'm the way. Don't go contrary to Christ. He's the way. He's the way through. We find ourselves and say, how am I going to get through this? He's the way. He's the way. It's always so. It doesn't matter what's going on. Here we are in a society that has an increasing hostility toward God, toward God's people, God's ways, God's word. He's the way. He's the way through all of that. He calls upon the apostles here in John 14 to focus upon Him. And oh, how we need to focus upon Christ. How we need to be drawn to Jesus Christ as the way. He's the way. And if we're focused upon that, we're drawn to Him, that keeps us from becoming spiritual wanderers. You know why people become spiritual wanderers? Because they forget the way. Jesus Christ is the way. You cannot live distant from Jesus Christ and not become a wanderer. It's going to happen. He's the way. The way to stay in the straight and narrow, Jesus is the way. He's the way. Realizing this prevents us from becoming lost in the maze of this world. And this world's a maze. But realizing and grabbing hold of, He's the way. It keeps us from getting lost in the maze of foolishness. In a day when the masses are absolutely spellbound with the pursuits and the ways of the world, we need to get a hold of those words, "I am the way." Realizing that, holding unto that, abiding in that, prevents becoming spellbound with a bunch of foolishness. We don't need, again, to create a way to live life. We don't have to invent a new way. We don't need a new way. He is the way. And there is no better way. So why would you need a new way? His way works all the time. I am the way. Also, in a world filled with deceptions and perversions and lies and mirages, and in a time of incessant bombardment with these things, in a time when the masses live under the control and even under the intimidation of the lies and perversions of the world, in a time when the world is absorbed and drawn to the false and twisted ways and reasonings and philosophies of a world that has gone mad, oh, how we need to lay hold of these words, "I am the truth. I am the truth." Need to lay hold upon that. We need to take that with us everywhere we go. I am the truth. Knowing that, we measure all truth by Jesus Christ. He's the truth. Realizing that will prevent you from getting swallowed up in a world that's insane, a world that's lost its mind. I am the truth. This is how we live this life that we're called upon to live. It's realizing the reality of what Jesus said. And in a day when people's lives are empty, for the most part, just nothing, aimless, wandering, live in deception, under deception, disillusioned, live lives of disappointment, they're disappointed all the time, live lives or they're disturbed, they're agitated about something all the time. That's the world. Chaos is everywhere, and dysfunction. People, for the most part, are spiritually numb. Speaking of God's people. And for the most part, spiritually exasperated. We need to get a hold of these words. I am the life. I am the life. You know why people's lives become dysfunctional? Because they live contrary to the life of Jesus Christ. That's a sure recipe for dysfunction. I am the life. That's not mere existence. That's life. We're not called upon to exist. We're called upon to live life abundantly. And Jesus says, "I am the life." He said in John 10, in verse 10, "I am come that they," the sheep, "my people, might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ is abundant life. I am the life. This life is described in John 17 and verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This life consists of a knowledge of God. That is how we're to live. a life in knowledge of God, a life that delights in God. That's abundant life. But most people, of course, live far, far, far short of that life. Be sure of this, fullness of life is in Christ, not apart from Christ. How many people have said to me through the years, I'm going to quit going to church, or I'm going to quit doing this or that, whatever, because I just want to enjoy life. You're going about it the entirely wrong way. Enjoyment of life is in Jesus Christ. There is no enjoyment of life outside and apart from Jesus Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And our habit of life needs to be in the reality of these words. What Jesus said. I am the way, that needs to be relevant in our life. I am the truth. I am the life. That needs to be relevant in our life. In other words, we're to live our life connected to the way, to the truth, and to the life. We're to live in the awareness of that. We're to live in the assurance of that. We're to live trusting that Jesus is the way. We may be in a situation and we don't know how we're going to get out of this. We don't know what we're going to do. But we need to trust, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. To try and live apart from Christ. What happens when a person does that? When they just try to live perhaps a little segment of their life apart from Jesus Christ, what have they done? They've opened the door of hell into their life. That's what they've done. And then they wonder, I just don't understand why I'm not happy. Don't live life apart from Christ. You bring all kinds of danger. You open the doors of hell. And you have exposed your life and the life of many around you to that evil. That's what living apart from Christ does. And you can be as sincere as you want to be, but let me tell you, that doesn't change a thing. You can be sincerely wrong. So, if we don't want to expose ourselves to the evils, and to all sorts of evil, live connected to Christ. What Jesus declares in our text is essential to salvation. We saw that this morning. Absolutely essential. Man is not saved apart from a way, from truth, and from life. Those three things are absolutely necessary to the salvation of a soul. But they're also necessary to living the life that God has called us to live. So we need to hear Him say, I am the way. And isn't it wonderful when Jesus comes to us and says, I am the way. Believe me, I am the way. Trust me, I am the way. When He says that, many times we're called upon to let go of our own ways. And realize, I'm the way. I'm the way. How sweet it is when He comes to us and says, I'm the truth. There's lies all around us. You can't turn on the television, the radio. There's lies everywhere. You can't read a newspaper, a magazine. Everywhere you turn, there's lies. We need to hear Jesus say, "I'm the truth." Amen. People say, "Well, can you trust anybody?" You can trust Him. Amen. We can trust one another too. We really can, to a point. But you can always trust Him, because He's the truth. And He's the life. He's the life that we need. Now notice, and we'll close. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We can't live this life that God has called us to live without coming to the Father. And we can only do that by Him. We come to the Father in prayer, but we do so by Him. You do not bypass Jesus Christ. Bypass Jesus Christ, you're just kidding yourself if you think you've gone unto the Father. He's the only way to the Father. But a key phrase there is that word "unto." That's our life. That word describes our life. Our life is to be unto the Father, unto God. And how do we do that? By Him. By Him. He's the means. So it's encouraging to know that you and I don't have to stay awake at night trying to think of a way to approach God. He is the way. To try to think of a way to serve God, He is the way. And that's why Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me. Without me, ye can do nothing." It's all about Him. What a wonderful life is ours to live. There is no better life. God not only saved our soul, but He's given us a wonderful, wonderful life to live. A life that the world, apart from Jesus Christ, does not have the privilege of living. But we can live that life. But He's the means of doing so. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in singing.